Hello all, welcome to Up the Poshcast, the Poshcast made by the fans for the fans. Grab yourself a drink, put your feet up and listen in. And by the way, there could be some strong language.
Hello everybody and welcome to this week's edition of Up the Poshcast. Today we had Gillingham away on Tuesday night, which was a very interesting game to watch, to see some of the returning players, you know, get a play out, especially our two deadline day transfers being Jadel Katonga and Bradley. One day I'll figure out how to pronounce his name, but I don't think today is that day. So I'll throw it to you, Ashley. How do you think Gillingham went?
So do you know what? We actually started quite slowly, I thought, and it felt like Gillingham were probably going to get the first goal. So it was quite nice that Ricky managed to bury that chance that he had, because I've seen a few people comment, it's not one of the easiest chances, and he's definitely missed those quite significantly. And we've seen others miss from that position this season as well. I think obviously we grew into the game, and then there was a big period from probably sort of 30 to 60 minutes where I felt like we were on top. They were getting a little bit frustrated, which sort of ended in the culmination of Bradley Dack sort of having a little bit of a tussle with Donny O'Brien Brady, which was quite nice to see from our side, is that the young lad's more than happy to stick up for himself against some greasy-haired, old, washed player that's had to drop down to League Two. And then, it just felt like we saw the game out. Like, Fergie says it, doesn't he, is that the important thing is to get 6 points on the board from your first two games. You know that you've qualified then, and then you can then play some of the players, like the fringe players and some of the youth team in the third game. So that will hopefully be what we get from Stevenage, which is our next BSM game, so that then when we play against the Palace under-21s, that we can test some of our younger team against another strong under-21 team.
I'm quite pleased with the performance. Obviously, we got the win. I was slightly concerned at the beginning of the match. I think Gillingham were probably on top. When I saw the lineups come out, Gillingham rotated their lineup as much as we did. So I thought it would be a walk in the park. I thought our backup players would be more than enough to beat them. So I was slightly concerned sort of the first 15, 20 minutes. And then Gillingham just sort of stood off of us completely and let us play. I think we probably could have created a few more chances, if I'm being completely honest. I didn't feel like at any point we were completely dominant where we would white walk the game. I think, was it Dara that said it? Someone said that we could have won 9 or 10 nil. And I completely disagree with that, because I don't think we even created 9 or 10 chances. Ricky's finish was good. I agree with Ashley. He deserves a lot of credit for that. And it's good to see some of the backup players that might not get a chance in the first team as much, like Donny O'Brien Brady put in a good performance. One player I was quite keen to see did come off of the bench, Ollie Rose. He impressed us all during pre-season, but unfortunately his 15-minute cameo was a bit of a disaster. I know we got some stick for his rating on Twitter, but he gave the ball away a couple of times and was probably at fault for the goal as well, if we had to blame one person. It's a difficult, it's a 15-minute cameo, it's his debut, it's a difficult one to perform in, but I think he's proved that he's not quite ready for first team football.
Do you know what, I think that's probably been a little bit harsh, and like you said, lads, we sort of took some pelters for our ratings of Ollie Rose, but ultimately the way that I see it is that we sort of run a policy at the club where if you are good enough, you're old enough. And he was strong in pre-season, to the point where we sort of were discussing before Varlin had come in, and it was like he would be our third choice centre-back. Obviously, that was before Nevitt then got injured as well. So things rotate, don't they? And you sort of make decisions. Like, I know that he made a couple of sloppy passes, but I don't think we ever rated Manny as low as we did. And Manny did just as much, except Manny is 22, 23 years old, isn't he? So it felt like the ratings probably were a little bit harsh from some members of the Poshcast who are maybe not here to defend themselves today. They've ducked out because maybe they couldn't handle the heat. So it I think some were harsh. I'm not going to say I gave him a six. Like, Gillingham were always going to come on strong towards the end of the game, and to get yourself up to that match pace with 15 minutes is always going to be tough. I think that obviously Fergie mentioned that Katongo was probably only going to get 60. I think that actually playing him for the 75 then was probably more of a stitch up for Ollie Rose, because if he'd have had the 30 minutes, I'm sure he would have got significantly higher ratings from the majority, if not all.
Yeah, I think the biggest question from that game as well, you know, we're talking about players, you know, Ollie Rose has signed a professional deal this summer. And as you were saying, you know, he's going to be our third choice centre back. And it's all about that restructuring of the team after, you know, we lost our sort of back line. But towards the front of the pitch, Lods was speaking earlier about, you know, we could have created more chances. I thought, when we've got, you know, we've signed a creative engine in Chris Conclarke, right? That's why we've signed him for. And yeah, I've said multiple times we need to give him that opportunity to adapt. And this was a perfect game to give him. And he got an assist, which was really good. But I thought we could have created more through him. It's like we're not playing through him. We play like with him. Whereas with Randall, the attack like usually will go through him and start with him. And I feel like with Chris Conclarke, the ratings were really, really quite high. And I don't think he had that amazing of a game. Like, obviously, if you watch the game through statistics, he had an excellent game. But like, if you actually watched the game, I didn't think he was overly phenomenal. So, Dell, have you sort of got anything to add on Chris Conclarke or the attack as a whole?
Sorry, can I, before Del, one second before I go, Max, I'm just gonna read out our ratings for Chris Conclarke so that everybody's aware. So I gave him a 6.5, Charlie 6.5, Del 6, John's given an 8.5, Lods a 7, and then Max, despite saying it wasn't that great of a performance, has put a 7.5. Yeah. So Max, just quickly back to you.
Yeah.
Have you thrown the ratings into dismay?
So I clearly watched the game through statistics. So I thought Chris Conclarke had an excellent game through statistics. No, look, when I say it wasn't an excellent game, I don't necessarily mean like he was one of the better players on the pitch, but when we signed him to do a job, I thought maybe he could have been better going forward. Like, John's given it an 8.5. And to be on that level for me, you know, I've given a 9.5 this season, and I've given an 8.5. That wasn't a performance that I thought would get there. 7.5 I thought was fair considering we won 2-1. But if that wasn't Gillingham and that was a league game and he puts in that performance, I don't think he's getting a 7.5. I think it was more the event rather than his performance as a whole. So yeah, I think that's my defence on Chris Conclarke. We'll throw it back to you, Dale, on the attack. Have you got anything to add on that?
Well, I actually quite enjoyed the game, to be fair. It's a new ground for me that I ticked off. I don't know how it's taken me so long to do it, but yeah, got that ticked off. Parking was quite good. Can't grumble the parking. Right outside the turnstiles. I think I have a little when I go to an away game, I always have a little game with myself. How close can I park? Don't think I could have parked any closer for this one, going off on a tangent. But anyway, I enjoyed the game. Again, I've not heard that comment 9-10, 1-0, whatever. Absolutely no chance. You know, we didn't create out many things. It was an enjoyable game. Conclarke, I didn't mind him. I actually thought he'd done okay. Probably not as much as I thought he would do. He seems to have had He has better impact when he comes off the bench to when he replaces Randall, for example. But then again, of Randall's performances lately, even I could probably come off the bench and improve. But that's just my opinion on that one. I thought up front, again, I'm really disappointed with Mothersill when he come on. It's just not very good. And I'm really, really, I was a big advocate saying, yeah, he's going to be the player of the season and all this, and he's going to do this. And he's been fucking pony. what's his name? Ricky Jade, done all right. Nice finish. Took it quite well. And I was quite impressed with, what's his name? Bradley. I was about to say fucking Ben, but Bradley, I overknow. Yeah, that would do. We'll go with that. So Bradley, great finish. What a, you know, what a introduction he had. Come on, lovely. He had, to be fair, I think, how many fans did we take? 263? Yeah, about that. I actually think about 63 of those was fucking Bradley's family and friends all in front of us and around. So I don't know if you know, when he come on, everyone, all his friends were stood up taking a picture of him coming onto the pitch, and fair play, mate. He's definitely got some support. Defensively, we was okay. Ollie Rose, I think some of the, with Ashley, I think some of the scoring was a little bit harsh. Yeah, he wasn't superb, but he weren't really shit, was he? You know, it's his debut, he's come on, he's a bit nervous. Fair play to him. You know, he's done all right. I might have marked him a little bit higher than he deserved, but it's your debut. You got to give somebody a little bit of slack there. Who else we got? I like Brady. Whatever his fucking name is. Okay. Yeah, I liked him. He was... And I've said, you know, during pre-season, he looked good. And I even said about not even replacing him once Sosa went, because I actually think he looked pretty good. And I'd have no qualms about starting him in a league game. And what I also like, so I can't remember who said it earlier, is he had a bit about him. You know, he stood up. And what I've been criticising the team of late is nobody had the bollocks. It didn't seem that we had that bite in the team to like stand up for themselves, but you know, clearly he did. So, you know, I'll stand corrected again. But overall, no, I thought it was a good game. But what I did notice is, like when we played Huddersfield and when we played Wrexham, we started off the best and then we ended up the worst. It was like role reversal against Gillingham. We probably, you know, we was probably doing what Huddersfield and Wrexham was doing, like just pacing out, finding out how the game's going to go. Once we worked out what we're going to do, we then changed. I think we was pretty much in control. I know Lod said we didn't think we was in control for most of the game, but I actually thought we was, once we scored the first goal, I thought we was like, I didn't think we was going to lose. Disagree with Brad, with Ash about the older, slick-haired Bradley Dack. I actually think he's too good for League 2. You know, he is still too good for League 2. Perhaps League 1, but you can see there's still something about him. What an arsehole he is. I've never liked him, but But overall, yeah, not a bad game. Enjoyed it. Shame we haven't got one this weekend, but we have Lincoln next week, which quite looking forward to.
On Chris Clark, so I gave him a 7 out of 10. The reason I gave him just slightly above average was his assist. He also made a couple of really good passes. But there is something very different about his play compared to Randall. Max said we don't play through him. I think that's more about his positional play compared to Randall's. People talk about Randall not getting stuck in, and I think Chris Clark does that. He seems to run around a lot more than what Randall does. I think Randall looks for the space and he tries to preempt where the best place is to be, whereas I think Chris Clark, we were talking about on the group chat, weren't we? He plays with chaos, I think is how we described it. Randall's more of a system player. That's why Fergie likes him. Chris Clark is one of them players that you can't really predict what he's going to do. A maverick, almost. Lee Tomlin was the same. I know we compared Chris Clark to Lee Tomlin before the season started. It can be a good thing, but there hasn't been many mavericks in a system setup that have done well. And I don't know if Fergie will eventually coach that out of Chris Clark to make him more like Randall, or whether he'll embrace it and use him in certain situations where it might benefit us, because if we don't know what he's going to do, then the opposition definitely don't. So it can benefit us. It's just whether or not Fergie wants to use it or not.
I think the thing with Chris Conn-Clark is that it's obvious that he is a very good footballer and he is very good with the ball at his feet. Like we said, there was that clip of him doing that turn where he's picked the ball out and sort of sent two defenders. It just feels like we're in that sort of position where maybe we were last year with Ricky and Malik Mothersill, whereby Randall's performances have been weak. And actually, it could have been any player that sort of went into that position and the fan base would have been happy with it. It just so happens that we've got this complete contrast in style in Chris Conn-Clark. So I'm not going to say that it was a bad performance by any stretch of the imagination, because it wasn't. But I think that people were so happy to see something different to what we've seen for the last sort of year to sort of 15 months, let's say, that ultimately I don't think that anybody was ever going to be disappointed, similar to Katongo, in that obviously that's a complete contrast, in that Katongo comes in. How happy did that make everybody on Friday night when that transfer was announced? Like it was just such a vibe, wasn't it? And then Saturday sort of brought everybody back down to earth. But again, you then play Katongo on Saturday and you see how good he is as a footballer. And anybody that was sort of worried about us losing Ronnie still in defence and what we've lost from Ronnie, I think it's very clear that Katongo is going to be able to step in. But sort of to flip back to Conn-Clark, I still don't think that we see him start the game. I think that he is going to come on as the season progresses, but I think that ultimately his chances will be limited to probably less than 45 minutes until probably January onwards, which then may be when we potentially sell Randall if somebody comes in and snaps him up.
I think as well with Randall, there's definitely a benefit of he's just signed a big fancy new contract with us. I think is another reason why Chris Conn-Clark probably can't get a look in at starting. We've got, you know, we've had Randall for however many years now, and he had a really successful season last season, I thought. And even then, you know, it wasn't the most brilliant one. And he's come into this season with the same sort of mentality. And Chris Conn-Clark, as you said, Lods, earlier, a really good point that you said on the system. With Lods, with Chris Conn-Clark, with Chris Conn-Clark, and you've got this sort of player that has a bit of bite, which I feel like is Adele's been complaining about with Randall for weeks and weeks, is that he's got no bite, especially with defence. Like he'll just let people run past him. He won't put a tackle in. Conn-Clark will do that. Conn-Clark will go and nip the ball. He will be positive going forward. And, you know, if he wants to take a shot outside the box, which we haven't had in a while from a striker. You know, Ricky always runs in behind and he always takes an extra few touches, you think, before he scores. And Malik, if he gets into that position, likes to dribble more. Whereas Conn-Clark will just hit it. We saw it against Wrexham, like nothing was on, and he just hit it. So it is, if Fergie's going to coach that out of him and make him a system player, like I don't want him to just become bland. Like he gets us off our feet and he gives us something to chant about when we're sat back defending, and he can send a defender or he can take an ambitious shot and everyone will get up for it. So I don't know. I feel like hopefully come middle of October, they might alternate a bit and we might play Conn-Clark against sort of the lower ranked teams and Randall against, you know, the Stockports, the Charltons, the Birminghams, that those sorts of teams, and we'll have to see. But I think we've got a segment that we haven't done before, due to it being the international week, that we have asked you over on our social media to give us some questions for us to answer, and Ashley will give those questions out to us. So Ashley, if you want to start us off.
Yeah, cool. So I will start with Carl Newman has asked, do we reckon that Bradley will be our starting striker by Christmas? Del, obviously strikers are one of your favourite things. What do you reckon? Bradley to be our number nine?
I think after the two recent performances, well, not recent, from the start of the season between Ricky and Mothersill, I don't think either has done enough to cement their place. Bradley, when he come on, didn't do anything wrong. I quite like the look of him. There is a strong possibility that he will be the top the starter by Christmas. So I'm going to say, yes, I think he will be. No, not I think. Yes, he will. He will be the start.
I think by Christmas, we will still be rotating our strikers. And I don't think Mothersill will be one of them. At Gillingham, Mothersill played on the wing, didn't he? So we now have three strikers. One of Ricky or Mothersill should really now be classed as a winger. Looks like Mothersill's going that way. And he put in an absolute stinker in front of goal against Gillingham. We don't know how good Bradley is. He's had one good shot at the end of the day against Gillingham. He could be a pile of piss. I think he's going to get a lot of game time between now and Christmas. I think Ricky will get better. I probably would still like to see Ricky start up front, but I think it will be rotating between the two come Christmas.
Yeah, I'm going to go the opposite direction, and I think Bradley should start against Lincoln. My reason being is that against Gillingham, he came on. He had, I don't even know how long he had for a cameo, but it wasn't the longest cameo in the world. I think it was about 30 minutes. And he's come on, and he hasn't put a foot wrong. But B, very similar to how I was just talking about Chris Conn-Clark, I don't remember the last time that we haven't, you know, we saw it against Wrexham. We sat on their final, literally in their final third, and we just went side to side to the fullback, backwards, side to side to the fullback, backwards. And that was the style of play. Whereas Bradley, yeah, it is one shot, but he got the ball on the half turn and he hit it. And it's gone in, and we haven't had a player that has done that for a while, especially last season. I don't really remember a time where we'd scored from outside the box in such fashion. So I think with Bradley, he was really, really good, and I would look to Lincoln for that. Obviously, Ricky scored, and he's his biggest competitor for that striker spot. And I think, as Lods has said, those two will be our rotated strikers. But I also don't think Mothersill will get a look in on the wing over even Kean Hayes. I think he's probably our one of our lowest choice wingers, especially after those two shots against Gillingham, where he seemed to hit the ball twice in really good positions and it went backwards. The ball didn't even go towards goal. Both of them went behind him. So I don't really understand how that happened. But look, let's see how the season goes on. But for now, I think Bradley and Ricky, Bradley's ahead for me in the striking position.
I don't want to do a disservice to Bradley, because I did actually enjoy watching him play against Gillingham. When we watch Ricky play, he does one thing, which is run forwards. When we watch Mothersill play, he tries to run forwards, but probably not as alert as what Ricky is. He does come in deep, and he's quite good at builder, probably a bit better than what Ricky is. Bradley did seem to play a bit of both. So it is early days. What I meant to say was, it's Gillingham. It's how long did he play for? Like, was it a half he played for? Just under a half? We don't know how good he's going to be. But he did have a massive smile on his face the whole time, even during the warm-up at halftime, the whole time he was playing. He looked like he really enjoyed it. And yeah, it looked like he knew when to run forward and when to come deep, which I think between Mothersill and Jones is something we've not got at the moment.
Just want to pick you up on something there, Lodge. You said that Ricky is more alert than Mothersill. Fuck me. I just totally disagree with that. Ricky, right, he needs a second or two to realise, oh, fuck me, I need to start running. But then he does catch up. Don't get me wrong. I actually think Mothersill is more alert than Ricky on a football pitch. It seems like it does seem like that Ricky needs to have that, like, oh shit, I need to do this. Whereas Mothersill was on it, still not very good. Also, going back to Max about Bradley, fucking hell. Going back to Bradley is what you said there. You see the goal, I want to shoot. Whereas we ponce around a little bit too much. And I actually quite like that sort of striker. I see the goal, I'm going to have a crack. Fair play. Outside the area, whatever. So if that is a sign of things to come, then I'll take it. Not sure whether it is, but if it is, I'll take it. Not sure that starting against Lincoln is the right thing yet. But, you know, funnier things have happened. So, yeah, I am Yeah, I wouldn't start him yet, but I would definitely have him as a sub to give him another crack at.
I just want to use the Wrexham game as an example of what I mean by Mothersill's alertness. So Collins pings balls forward when he gets the opportunity to, and often Ricky has the space behind him and he knows that the ball's coming over. So Ricky will know that when Collins has got the ball, he needs to run. When Mothersill is playing in that position, which he had lots of space, Wrexham played a high line for the whole of that first half. He had so much space behind him. Every time Collins got the ball, he pinged it forward. And it was Joel Randall that was chasing the ball because Mothersill wasn't ready for it. And I think if you're playing in that role, you have to be alert to the ball. If that's what Archie Collins is going to do. And I think if Ricky was playing against Wrexham, we wouldn't have had an issue. I think we would have been 2-0 going in at halftime.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that Bradley is ultimately something different again. Like, we talk about how different Mothersill and Ricky are. I think that Bradley is now a third different option in that he's a little bit taller. I'm not going to say that he's a little bit beefier, but he looks like he's more willing to sort of get stuck in up against the defender and put those challenges in. So I think that it's just nice that we've got three different options for sort of all scenarios. I know that obviously we mentioned last week that could there potentially be a change in system, in that actually how great would it be to have two strikers up there? And I think that bringing in Bradley is a potential to sort of open that up. But all being said, I don't think he'll be our starting striker by Christmas. So the next question is a singular question for one of the hosts from Damn Daniel, which is it true Lods has the nickname Lobs in a certain group because he gets lobbed in net every game? Lods, would you like to come back on that?
Listen, Damn Daniel is the worst football player I've ever seen in my life, but unfortunately I do have to play football with him every week on a Sunday. I am a self-proclaimed bad goalkeeper, and yes, I got the nickname Blobs because the ball often goes over my head because I cannot jump like professional goalkeepers.
But Lodge, you play Power League, don't you? You can't be being lobbed in a Power League goal.
No, we do often play 11-a-side. I don't get lobbed at 7-a-side. That's embarrassing.
So next question is Tobba from Borough on My Mind. Somebody, Max, that you know very well, I'm sure, and I do as well, after spending multiple hours with him in the car this season because Bob has bailed on me multiple times because he prefers spending Saturdays and Tuesdays with his girlfriend rather than at the football. So Tobba says, from the opening four games, do you all stand by the predictions you had before a ball was kicked, or have your opinions changed a bit? Max?
Well, before a ball was kicked, I made a prediction about a certain team, because as a lot of my friends know, I'm quite reactional. And when you bring about 30 players through the door, I really thought that they were cooking, they were onto something, and they've been far below my expectation. That team is Burton Albion. I said they'd finish in the playoffs. I don't think they'll go anywhere near that now. But it just goes to show, like, even if you make like really good signings, you're not guaranteed anything. And I really thought that with the signings Burton Albion made, considering their position they were in last season, I really thought that they'd be able to kick on and push for top half the table to playoffs. But I think I was terribly wrong, and they'll be scrapping for relegation again.
I predicted Posh to finish fourth before the season started. I still stand by that. I think there's definitely something that's not clicking in our squad that we can see yet, but I think it will. So where we look like a good top half team, not necessarily a good top six team, I think we will eventually build up to that.
Do you know what? I think we can still win the league. That's what I predicted us to have. I still think we can do it. You can make the faces all you want, the pair of you, but I still think we can do it. How good were we from Port Vale onwards last season, which was, what, October time? Fergie's had another sort of, what, 2 weeks after, well, let's say 10 days after Gillingham, -2, so 8. Another 8 days on the training ground with what's not a full squad, but obviously we're only missing our right back, our centre midfielder, and then one of our centre backs. But Nevitt hasn't played. Kyprianou's obviously only played the two games, and we know the role that Kyprianou can play, and he's a very strong, a very good footballer. I just think that it's going to be one of those ones where we start to tick over, teams will be scared of us again, and we've just got to get into that rhythm. So I am going to stick for at least the next month that we're going to win the league.
Fuck it, we're going to win the FA Cup as well. So based on that, but I'm sort of speechless. That don't normally happen. But I said ninth, I believe. I went from 12th to 9th. 9th was my official one. I'm going to stick to 9th. I won't be disappointed if that's where we are, because, again, a new team. I think we got lucky last year, if I'm honest. But, yeah, I'll go with 9th. Happy to stay with that. Not a problem whatsoever. Also, what I do want to say is I got ribs for Crawley, because I said they're going to finish about 15th. You lot were saying they've finished bottom. Where are they at the moment? Where are they?
Yeah. It's only been a few games now. You know, you got to let the season progress a little bit. You know, come back to my moment.
Let me have my moment. All right. That's all I'm going to say. So, yeah, I'm sticking to 9th.
Yeah, just sort of like on a posh prediction. I think I said 6th in my official predictions. I actually think we'll finish higher than 6th. I don't think we're going to finish first or second, like Ashley does, but I do think that we're going to finish 3rd or 4th again. And my reasons are pretty much identical to Ashley's ones, where you think at the start we had last season, and I think, like, squad-wise, maybe not in our defence, but squad-wise, I think we're in a far better position than we were last season, especially with depth. You think we've got loads of players we can rotate. You know, one injury isn't going to, you know, put us in the mud. I think we're in a far better position than we were. And we lost, you know, our first, you know, we beat Reading 1-0, and then I'm pretty sure we lost 3 back-to-back league games before getting a draw. So I think definitely there's still time to kick on. And we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, I think I'm gonna bump my prediction up from 6th to 3rd and see where we are at Christmas.
Love it. So the next final question is actually a double header. So we'll split it down into two from Jacob CR27518800. So the first part of his question is, who do you think has been our most underwhelming player so far this season? I'm gonna start on that one, because I don't want it to just turn into an absolute player bashing, but I'm going to stick it on somebody that I think should have been doing better, and that's going to be Jed Steer. Although he's been good with his feet, I do still think that he's not really commanding himself and being that 31-year-old that I would like to see as somebody that is, what, 8 years older minimum in our squad. And although he's not the captain, he's not the vice captain, he is part of that leadership group, and I get that it's tough. Like we mentioned, preseason is for your goalkeeper to be a leader, but I don't think that he is showing himself to be what we would expect from somebody that's got the experience that he does.
There's a couple of players for me. I think Chris Conn-Clark's probably been a little bit below what I was expecting him to be, but I did think he was going to have a slow start, so it's not the biggest shock to me. I think the biggest disappointment is Jack Sparks. One of the signings we made that should have had enough experience to play at a decent standard at this level. Obviously won the league with Portsmouth last season. They played good football. I think we were expecting him to be up and down that left-hand side, pinging balls in, helping out defensively. We haven't quite seen that. I don't know if that's the system, him getting used to us, a fitness thing, and I'm sure it will come. Like Ashley said, it's not a player bashing, but the biggest disappointment for me is Jack Sparks.
For me, Mothersill. Yeah, I had high hopes, as I've already alluded to earlier. I don't think he's been anywhere near where he should be. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to talk on his name, but I just have. Jed Steer has been a big disappointment. I don't know. He just seems to be a totally different keeper from last season. And what Lodz has already just said there, Sparks, you know, from being pretty much an ever-present in the Portsmouth team that got... did they win the league? I can't remember. Anyway, they got promoted for... So it must have been half decent. I'm not too sure what the hype is about him, to be fair, because he hasn't really impressed as yet. Hopefully, he's going to start picking up when we get back from pre-season, from the international break. But yeah, I think I'll leave it at those three rather than go through the whole team. But Mothersill is my biggest disappointment, mainly because I hyped him up so much, making me look a bit of a twat, which I can normally do myself without other people doing it for me. But there we go. So yeah, that's what we got.
I actually agree with Dell. Mothersill is also my biggest disappointment. And I think it's just... For very similar reasons that at the start of the season, I thought, well, he didn't get his chance. He's going to get his chance and he's going to take his chance and he's going to be a lot better than Ricky. And I think I'm pretty safe to say, and even, you know, with early doors, I think it's pretty safe to say that he's not. And I don't know if he's going to kick on. I don't know. I hope he does, but I can't really see it myself.
Yeah, look, I think like you all said, it's what, four games into the season, so it's not disastrous at this stage, is it? I actually think that maybe picking Sparks out is a little bit harsh, because I think that the point from that is just that he purely is replacing somebody who was so good for us last season. Whether Burrows was player of the season. Yeah, Lodge, you can shake your head, but he's got all those assists and got those goals and contributed to those big moments. Sparks isn't that type of player, is he? And ultimately, he's probably got a little bit of PTSD from nearly signing for Cambridge, those absolute shitters down the road. That would be enough to put me off playing football for at least a month, if not longer. But then the flip side of Jacob's question is obviously who is the most impressive player of the season so far. I will probably start with that one. I think it's Sam Curtis for me. It's always nice. You don't know what you're going to get from a lone player. You don't know whether they're going to hit the ground running or sort of just sit in the back burner. Obviously, we've had many a poor lone player, haven't we, in the past that haven't contributed. But for the second year running, it looks like we've got another fantastic, well, actually the third fantastic right back, because Katongo was also a fantastic right back by the end of the season. So it's nice that although we can't seem to lock down the position with a permanent player, Sam Curtis has definitely been the most impressive for me.
For me, Emmanuel Fernandez. I even give him the credit of giving his full name. It is Emmanuel, isn't it? But anyway, I've actually been really impressed with him. Fucking hell. Again, I'm eating my words because I've already said before that I didn't think he's a professional footballer. I didn't think he'd be starting any games. But fair play to the lad. He's done all right. He's been consistent. I think he's done really well. So fair play. I don't think he deserves to be dropped as yet because he hasn't done anything wrong as yet. And another one for me is our mate Brian O'Brady, fucking hell, Dob, whatever you want to call him. I've been really impressed with him as well. You're sitting there fucking taking a piss. I could have some illness, you know. You don't know that, but anyway,
you'd have bloody told us if you did. You're not going to keep it on your chest, are you?
I'm shy.
Fuck off.
Yeah, I know. So anyway, so I actually, those are my two that I've been really impressed with, on top of from that I expected not as much from. So yeah, fair play to both of them.
Yeah, annoyingly, the two that Dell's picked are the two that I was going to pick as well. So Brian Brady, we didn't think was going to get much game time this season, and we were led to believe he was a number 10. He's done really well in the midfield. But my choice was going to be Manny Fernandez. purely based on similar to what Dale said. I was really harsh on him at pre-season and maybe the first couple of games. I think I called him a calamity in one of the episodes. He actually isn't that bad. I don't think he deserves to be our fourth choice centre back. He is shaky. He is probably the worst in possession out of the centre backs. But he is good defensively. He offers us something different with his aerial threat. And I can see a world where he improves now, where he gets into the team. Pre-season, we were discussing whether he needed to go out on loan. I don't think he should have gone out on loan. I think he's got a path now into the first team.
Yes, so
let me come back to that one regarding Manny. It's going to be a big shout here, a big shout. You said he can't really play out from the back. 100% agree with that. But not much gets through him. So is he going to be our next Zakwani? Big shout. I know. I love Zakwani. Superb. Nothing got through him. He was like that rock. He got literally nothing. But I think we'd first agree he wasn't the best at playing out. He, you know, he was that type of defender that no frills, ball ain't going past me, not scared of getting stuck in. I know it's a big shout, but, you know, that is the way I potentially see Fernandez's play rather than the Ronnie Edwards sort of play. You know what I mean?
I've noticed a couple of people mention this as well. He seems to have taken on quite a bit of a leadership role on the pitch as well with organising. I thought when he was, what was the first home game? Huddersfield. I thought when he was communicating with Wallin, it might have been Wallin not understanding sort of the language or maybe the system and Manny was trying to help him through. But obviously Wallin wasn't there Tuesday night and Manny was still organising the midfield, making sure the defence around him are all where they should be. He could be a future captain for us. And if we don't think that he can develop into a player that we'll sell on for a lot of money, Dale could be quite right. He could go down as a cult hero like what Zakwani did. I can see a world where that happens.
Hello? Oh, wait. Are we sure here? The bloke's taken a bashing for the last sort of 4 weeks, and now all of a sudden he's going to be a cult hero and club captain. Shall we start chipping away at the statue? Fucking love the guy. I get excited every time we get a corner now. But like, what is this turnaround? Like, start the fundraiser now, Jesus Christ!
Anyway, let's not go that far. But the thing is, I think it's a prime example that players can turn you around. And players can turn you off. You know, I've gone full circle at the moment with Fernandez, the same way I've gone full circle with Mothersill. So, you know, what I'm trying to say is I will give people the opportunity to win me over. So, Mothersill, you need to win me back over. Ricky, you need to win me around. And, you know, Manny, yeah, fair play. I can't, you know, I can speak good of the man.
So coming back to my point on the most overwhelming player before we move on to some Lincoln chat, I think I'm very similar to the people who have said Sam Curtis. I think at the start of the season, against Huddersfield, both fullbacks were poor, and then he's kicked on and has now, you know, impressed me every single game from there on out. And I think one player that I don't think has been mentioned yet is Ado. He's definitely been one of my most, one of the players that has impressed me most. I was very, not necessarily harsh, because I did really like the look of him. I think more of the fact that in pre-season, he took a long time to think about what he was going to do when he gets to the box. And I still think there's an element of that. But I think he dispatches the right ball more times than he doesn't, and that is ended up getting him, I think he's on 3 or 4 assists now, that's ended up getting him that sort of GA. So I think that's really good, and that's impressed me, and we've done really well replacement wise to replace a player of F1 Mason Clark's standard. We haven't seen the goals that Ado can bring yet, but 3 assists, you can't really complain. Lincoln then, next Saturday after the international break weekend. I think Lincoln will be a tricky game, especially on the back end of last season, because that's all I've really got to go off. And obviously they're up there in the playoff places again this season at the moment, early doors again, but they are up in the top half, the top end of the table even. They had that really good patch last season after we drew 0-0 to them, where they just seemed to like stop being able, that they weren't able to not beat people like by 3, 4, 5 goals. It was really, really good. And I think their manager is a lot to play, has a lot to play for that. And they're a really good team, really well structured. They lost Sorensen in the summer, and I think they've replaced really well in that squad. And I think it's going to be a tricky game again, very similar to Wrexham. But I think this is definitely going to be an even tougher challenge than what Wrexham was. So, Ashley, would you like to give your thoughts heading into next Saturday?
I'm going to be honest, I'm a little bit worried. It's another home game. Lincoln, like you say, are very strong. We've not been too strong at home this season. Lincoln play their system very well. We've not really played our system very well. I think that, again, it's another game where I don't want to bang the same drum, where sort of first goal wins it. But we know how tough we found it back in January when we went to Lincoln to even get shots and score, and I don't see that changing on Saturday. I championed it for Wrexham. I think that Ricky's got to start, and then the only other big question sort of that is a question mark is, what do we do with our four centre backs, and which of those two start? Like we've just discussed, it would be very harsh on Manny to drop Manny. But I can see it being Varlin and Katongo that start the game, which is a shame for Manny, because like you say, like he doesn't deserve to be the fourth choice centre-back. I think he probably is the third, but then it's not fair on Nevitt to be the fourth choice centre-back. So it's a fantastic place to be in defensively, but I'm concerned for Saturday that there's the chance that we may not start the way that we want to. And even if we do, are we going to get a goal? Equally, if we, same as I've said before, like against Huddersfield and Wrexham, if we get the first goal, then I would be confident that we would get two or three more. So not really the answer, but it all depends on that first goal for me.
I'm going to sound really ignorant here. I assume Lincoln played with a high line. They played quite good football last season, didn't they? Ashley's just mentioned about their system. I assume they play with a high line. I'd start Ricky. I think we missed him against Wrexham. I think I want to see what he wants to do. I'd start Randall, give him the opportunity to play with someone that's going to make them runs. And then regarding the centre-backs, yeah, Ashley's right. You've got a bit of a conundrum there. We've sent Wallin away during this international break back to Sweden. And like we said, Manny, I don't think has done enough to be dropped. I would play Manny and Katongo. And I think they'd make a good, what Katongo lacks, Manny's got. What Manny lacks, Katongo's got. I think between them, they'll make a really, really good pairing. I actually worry if Wallin is struggling with homesickness, I worry that he might struggle to get back into the starting 11. If Manny and Katongo can form this strong partnership, with Nevitt waiting as well, I think it might be Wallin that misses out. He might be the one that has to sit on the bench for quite a long period.
With the moving back to that Wallin comment there, didn't he go back because he was the Swedish season was still going on when we signed him? So it's more of like a relaxing sort of break that he's been sent back to Sweden.
I've got no idea. We've never had a foreign player before. So it's we've never been in a position where this has happened. So it could just be a normal thing, or it could be, we've got a couple of weeks off, Oscar, go back to Sweden, see your family. It's been a challenging time in your young life. Who knows?
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily a big issue. Sweden is not as if Sweden's the other end of the world. You know, we have players that go back up to Scotland or whatever to see their family. I don't think it should really make any difference that it's Sweden. But anyway, back onto the games. That's what we were talking about. I think it'll be a tough game. It normally is when we play Lincoln, to be fair, and I don't normally mind if we win, lose or draw, provided we play well, but there's a few teams I fucking hate losing against, and Lincoln's one of them. I don't know, maybe because I'm older than you youngsters, but years ago, Lincoln used to feel like a bit of a right sort of rivalry. Do you know what I mean? It was like Lincoln, Cambridge, Northampton, and fucking hate Lincoln. I really do. I just don't like them. And so I think it will be a tough game. I'm not convinced that we're good enough to actually beat them at the moment. They've always been a sort of a strong team. Last season, I know they had a Joe Taylor that was banging the goals in for them after the 0-0, etc. I know they haven't got him at the moment. I don't know enough about them to really comment too much. I just don't want to lose against them. So I'll take a draw and see what happens.
Dell, I think you're right in that Lincoln does feel a little bit like a big game, a grudge match. I think that actually some of the younger lot, not myself, but some of the younger lot after the Sammy Smodic's penalty incident, obviously we would probably feel the same way in that it was a big match. That was a massive match. We should have got it done against Doncaster, shouldn't we? But we didn't. And then all of a sudden it spiraled into this momentous occasion in the history of Peterborough United. So I think that there probably are lots of the younger lot, possibly the under-18s, that would see Lincoln as a big game. The only thing that I sort of say with Lincoln is that they don't really have anybody around them, do they? So they're more than happy to make big games from sort of every game, because other than Grimsby, is it? Like they don't, or Retford maybe, or Worksop or somebody like that. They don't really have anybody. So I don't think it needs to be overhyped to be a massive game. I know that obviously I did my best last week to make Wrexham a massive game, but I don't think that Lincoln needs to be hyped up to be a massive game. But again, it would be great. Obviously, the GH is open for Posh fans. It would be fantastic if there was a little bit of noise, and then hopefully the players can bring that to both ends of the stadium, and we can keep Lincoln quiet.
Just I'm being older. I'm going further back to the Swadix penalty. I'm going back to like after the game, walking over Town Bridge, and it's all kicking off, and cars being smashed up by the Lincoln fans. You know, so that is there was that old rivalry, and it was pretty bad there, to be fair. So yeah, I'm old. But anyway, let's move on. Who's next on that one?
Just to bring my sort of perspective on it, because obviously I'm 19, so I'm sort of in the age range that you're talking about with younger fans. I think I speak for, I know I speak for a few of my close mates that I actually dislike Lincoln more than I dislike Cobblers. So I think when we're talking about, local rivalries, grudge matches, I would much rather beat Lincoln two times than beat Cobblers twice. So I think that sort of gives you everything you need to know about maybe not my my generation of fans, but especially me and a few of my other mates. Lincoln for me is definitely a big game. And to go back, if it seems like an age ago now, but to go back on your point Ash, you made earlier about not being very good at home, I cannot believe our home form this season. I know it's only been two games. I know it's only been Huddersfield and Wrexham, but I don't think we even registered a shot on target against Wrexham. I can't even remember the last time we didn't register a shot on target at home before. And I think if we said at the start of the season what our biggest problem would be, I don't think anybody here would say our home form. I thought last season, you think we beat Burton by five, we scored five against Cambridge, we scored five against Cobblers. Our home form was tremendous. We scored goals. We create play. Teams were definitely terrified to come and handle our press on our home turf. And I feel now there's an element of that that's lost. We seem lost at home. Whereas when we go away, we have fight to go and win a game. We have fight to come back and do things. Look at Exeter. Look at Shrewsbury, for example. We've got the capability of scoring goals, and I can't understand why we can't unlock that at home. That's never been a problem for us, especially in recent years anyway. It's never been a problem. And not to register a shot on target and to put in a 60-minute performance against Huddersfield and Wrexham that was really quite dire, and we didn't create enough. I am really worried about our home form going into the season. I think what we need and what I hope we get on Saturday is a win. I think that is... the lifter of all spirits. If we can get a win at home, even if it's just like a 1-0 sort of grudge match, 1-0 sort of like scrappy, get it done. I think that's going to do wonders for our home form. But that win needs to come. It needs to come soon if we want to challenge up the table, because being at home is one of the most important things in football. And you definitely need to make sure that you capitalise on that, which links perfectly into our predictions. I think I'll go first with Lincoln. I think it's going to be scrappy, and I think it's going to be a draw. I don't think we're going to get the win, unfortunately, just because of how dire our home form has been as of recent. I'm going to go 1-1, and we'll see what happens next Saturday.
I'll go next. I'm going to go 2-2. I don't think we'll win. I hope we don't lose. So 2-2, and I'm also going to go that my new found friend, Emmanuel Fernandez, is going to score a header.
Do you know what? I'm going to go 0-0. I think it's going to be really boring, which is not like me. Normally, I can get off my seat. We've predicted 3 draws so far, so I hope that Lodz is going to predict something different.
Yeah, I'll lighten the mood. I think agree on all the points on the home form. Darren Ferguson must be really angry that we've had 2 really shocking performances at London Road. I think we're going to have a very dominant performance, and I think it will be 3-0. I think we'll get the clean sheet as well.
Well, I think that's everything from us for this week. So thank you very much for listening. And hopefully we can get that result against Lincoln next week and lift some spirits overall. So, yeah, thank you very much for listening, and up the posh.
Up the posh cast.
Yeah. Up the posh cast.
Thank you all for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Up the Posh Cast. Let us know your feedback. Give us any ideas for topics you would like to discuss or any questions you'd like us to answer. Up the Posh Cast.